You know Schmidman by any chance?
Schmidman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm a hood.
Oh, very nice.
So we'll say we're going to continue now with this article that we're studying, and I'll tell you where we got up to. If you have the photocopy, maybe Abby, you can look on with Jeff. We're up to page Nun Hey, correct? And it's V'ein Lahakshos on the bottom right column.
You have to turn it.
Yeah,
turn it and turn it.
Okay. What are we talking about? There's a Rashi, just to review, in Masechta Sanhedrin, on Daf Samach Vav, that implies that if you violate the Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos, without doing a Maisa, then you're not Chayev Skila. And the first one to understand why. We have a principle in Malkus, for example, Lav Shem Bo Malkus Ein Lokin Alav. We have a principle in Karban, that Lav Shem Bo Maisa is not Mechayev Karban B'Shogeg. But as far as Misa is concerned, as far as the Chiyuv Skila in the case of Shabbos, we don't have such a principle. Adarabba, we have many cases where Yechayev Skila, Yechayev Misa, even without a Misa. So where does Rashi get this from? Apparently Rashi understands that in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, we have a special rule, a Din Mesuyam, as we call it, in Hilchos Shabbos, that without a Misa, it's not called Chil Shabbos. A Malach has to be done by Misa. And based on this yesod, that a malach has to be done b'maisa, we try to explain how we can answer the famous question of Muki Yosef, that isha mishum chitzav, and yet you're allowed to light a candle on Erev Shabbos. Isha mishum chitzav means that my maisa continues every second until it burns up whatever it does. And therefore the Muki Yosef wants to suggest that we have a problem with lighting a candle on Erev Shabbos, because Isha Mishum Chitzav, it's burning throughout the entire Shabbos. And the answer suggested here is that it still remains Shevi Altas, meaning there's no Maisa, although Isha Mishum Chitzav could be Machayev him in Nezikin as if he did a Maisa Hezek, but it's not a physical action, and therefore, as far as his body is concerned, his body is in a state of non-action, and therefore, Shevi Altas say he doesn't violate a Melech HaShabbos. So at this point, we have a stira. That's what he's up to now. The case is a person makes a kinyan on Erev Shabbos with a condition that the chalos should be suspended until Shabbos, what we call a kinyan liachar zman. Now, one of the various Gzeres Chachamim, as far as Shabbos is concerned, and the list is very long, but one of them is making a kinyan in Shabbos. We don't do a kinyan on Shabbos. The reason for that is he might be tempted to write down on a document in order to clinch the kinyan. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger and his Chuvas has a suffix back and forth. What happens if the Maisa kinyan was done Erev Shabbos, but the kinyan is Chal on Shabbos? And Rabbi Kivega wants to suggest that the violation of the Drabana, the Issa Drabana of Kinyan on Shabbos, depends upon the Chalos Kinyan. And since the Chalos Kinyan in this case takes place on Shabbos, that makes it a violation of this Drabana of Kinyan on Shabbos. So now we have a stira, because we've assumed until now that there's no such thing as a malacha violating the Shabbos b'shevi altase. He made the Maisa Kinyan on Erev Shabbos, so the Kinyan is Chal on Shabbos b'shevi altase. Why would that be awesome? Does this, Rabbi Kivega, undermine everything we've been saying about Shevi altase? So at this point he introduces a fundamental distinction between malachos d'rabbanon and gzeres d'rabbanon. A malacha d'rabbanon can only be violated b'kum v'aseh, just like a malacha d'oraisa. And if you're inactive and you violate the malacha passively, that's not considered an avera. But in the case of a gzera d'rabbanon, where the rabbanon are afraid that it might lead you to something else, then even in the case of shevi altaseh, that gzera is chal. So although the maisa kinyan was done on Erev Shabbos and the chalos kinyan is chal on Shabbos, but nevertheless, this is considered a violation of the Gzeira Drabbanon of Shema Yichtov. And the Gzeira Drabbanon is irrelevant to this distinction, because the Gzeira Drabbanon is not expanding the definition of a malacha. We're not saying that a kinyan on Shabbos is a malacha. It's not a malacha at all. But what it is it's something that brings you close to violating a malacha. And if the Rabbanan said that the gzera is that we don't want any kinyanim on Shabbos, because once the chalos kinyan is on Shabbos, you might be tempted to write it. So it's not the mice of malacha that's asur, even min Rabbanan, but rather the gzera, which means we're afraid that through this kinyan, you might come to violate Shabbos. So Rav Hosai, at this particular crossroads, we have a v'nafochu. You know, we're almost at Chodesh Adar. And everything is topsy-turvy and upside down. Because until this point, we've assumed that in the comparison between a malacha d'rabbanan and a gzera d'rabbanan, which is more chamor. A malacha d'rabbanan, for example, all the heterim that we have with tzorech chole only apply to a gzera d'rabbanan. And therefore we were matir for a chole, the case of Amir Eliakum, we were matir for a chole, Hashmas Kol, we were matir until Tulmuksa for a chole. All this we were matir because all these are gzeros derabbanan. But in a case of Olacha derabbanan, for example, Chaliva, if you hold that Behema is not Geduli Karkas, so there's no Disha Doraisa, but it's only a Drabbanon, there the Gemara says we can only be Matil Utsar Chole if we have an additional element. What's that? Kilachayat. Remember, it has to also be Kilachayat. Why do we need to introduce that extra variable of Kilachayat? Why not just say B'makom Choli Lo Gazer Rabbanon? The answer is because now we're dealing with the Malacha Rabbanon. Say Nochinami, with the Gzera Rabbanon, the Rabbanon is saying our Gzera will not contradict or will not stand its ground in the face of a Chole. But if it's a Malacha Rabbanon, then the Malacha Rabbanon is very hard to remove. And you'll ask me, so what do we gain by adding Kilachayad? And that's when we suggested that Kilachayad creates a Chisor de Malachas Machsheves, which is Mafkiya the Malacha. And even on a Drabbana level, it reduces it from a Malacha Drabbana down to the level of Exera Drabbana. And now we can be Mati B'machom Choli. So any heta that we find B'machom Choli is going to have to be not just the Drabbana, but it's going to have to also be Kilachayad. In other words, it's going to have to downgrade the level of the malacha to that of gzera. So again, just to summarize, we're more machmir in a malacha d'rabbanan than we are in a gzera d'rabbanan. And this led Rabbi Kivega to an amazing conclusion. If you fast forward for a moment, this is the last thing I said on Tuesday before we had to end for Mincha. On page Samach, there's a little paragraph here which is very powerful, very profound, in Os Yud. And the question is, we have a principle called Mechalel Shabbos Befarhesia. And the status of Mechalel Shabbos Befarhesia is that he's a Mumar. So it means Mumar LeShabbos is Mumar LeKala Torah Kula. Again, in our day we have all sorts of different heterim, but in the pristine halacha, a Mechalel Shabbos is a Mumar. Rabbi Kivega wants to know what's the din of a Mechal Shabbos for Drabbanos. He's very religious when it comes to the Doraises, but he has no concern about the Drabbanos on Shabbos. He's mamish a lahachisnik for the Drabbanos. Would we say that the Drabbanon is a mumar lekol Torah kula? So Rabbi Kivega says it depends. What does he violate? If he violates a malacha d'rabbanan, then midrabbanan, he becomes a mumar l'chol Shabbos. But if he violates a gzera d'rabbanan, that's like a gzera b'chol dinei, b'chol isurei Torah. It doesn't have that special status of chol Shabbos, which generates mumaris, and therefore he's not a mumar. So he says, if you take a look in this little Os Yud, he says, yesh l'chalik, Bein mumar lavar gzeros derabbanan, bein mumar lavar malachos derabbanan. So if I need an example to illustrate the chumra of a malacha derabbanan as opposed to gzera derabbanan, here's where I have it. Before we were up in the air. We had this whole business about a makom choli. We're only going to be matir gzera derabbanan, not a malacha derabbanan. We need kalakayad. All that was very complicated. But here's something that's really straightforward. It just jumps out of the page. That when Rabbi Kivega says that a chil Shabbos derabbanan generates mumris midrabbanan, that's only in the case of chil melecha Shabbos derabbanan. So, for example, the case that we gave of choli v'Shabbos in Gedulei Karka, is Mirabbanan. There is Dishan Gedulei Karak. That's a Malacha Mirabbanan. If he was a Cholev Lahachis and he did it for Farhesia, then Mirabbanan according to Rabbi Kivegi becomes a Mumar. But in the case of, let's say, Amir al-Nakhri, which if we assume, as we have been assuming until now, that Amir al-Nakhri is only a Gzera Drabbanon, and for that matter, Muktzah is only a Gzera Drabbanon, and we spoke about Ashmas Kol as a Gzera Drabbanon, in these cases, he would not be a Mumar. Why? Because he's not violating a Malacha. A Malacha Drabbanon. Again, add the word Drabbanon. So now we make a switch. And this is the punchline of what we're saying until now. That it's possible, and this is fascinating, that a Gzera Drabbanon is more chomer than a Malacha Drabbanon. How is that so? Because with regard to a Malacha Drabbanon, we have a Tanai that it has to be Bekumvaseh. And there's no chil of Malacha without, that's the nature of a Malacha, that's the definition of Malacha, it has to be Bekumvaseh. If you could violate a malacha, whether it's Doraisa Drabbanon, B'Shevi Al Taseh, that would not constitute a violation of a malacha. But when you come to Gzeris, then we're not interested. Then Gzeris falls back into the general Patpori, you know, the general halacha of violating an Isur Drabbanon. And in this case, it doesn't matter whether you do it B'Kum Vaseh or B'Shevi Al Taseh, you're in violation of the Gzeris Drabbanon. And the reason for that is because the Rabbanon want to be marking you from another more severe violation, and when they, you know, asusiag la Torah, and therefore, even if you violate that gzera b'shevi al taseh, and here we have an example according to Rabbi Kivegi where he made a kinyan on Erev Shabbos. The Maisa kinyan was on Erev Shabbos. When was the chalos kinyan on Shabbos? Is Rabbi Kivegi says he violates a gzera d'rabbanon. Had the Isur kinyan been a Malacha Drabbanon, then the Malacha Drabbanon was done on Erev Shabbos. That's not a Malacha. So there's no Maisa here on Shabbos. It's pure Shevi Al Taseh. The Chalos Kinyan is on Shabbos. There's no violation of a Malacha, even Drabbanon. But now that we've said that, no, we're going to subsume Kinyan as what? As a Gzera Drabbanon, then as long as that Gzera is relevant, whether you violated that Gzera B'Kum Vaseh B'Shevi Al Taseh, there's no heter to do so. And therefore, Kivegi says, we're not going to allow you to make a kinyan on Erev Shabbos, it's going to be Chal on Shabbos. The Isur Drabbanon of Gzeras Kinyan is in the Chalos Kinyan. So if I do the Maisa Kinyan on Erev Shabbos, it doesn't help me at all. I still haven't circumvented the violation of the Gzeras Drabbanon because the Chalos Kinyan is on Shabbos. Alan?
Yeah, so the Chalos Kinyan is on Shabbos. That's
Isur Drabbanon.
We call it Gzera Drabbanon.
You follow what I'm saying?
Let's. I'm trying to tease the difference out between the two.
Yeah.
Drabbanon. They only made it Kain Dioraisa, so that by itself, without Gzera, that it would be Mutter. Also, this Kinyan would be okay since the Kinyan took place. Actually, the Maisa Kinyan happened before Shabbos.
So. If you assume that Kinyan is a Malacha Midrabbanon,
right. Then
you're right. But Rabbi Kivegi wants to be Machadish that Kinyan is not a Malacha Drabbanon, but rather a Gzera Drabbanon. Now, usually, Gzera Drabbanon takes me down a level. Here, paradoxically, it's going to generate a Chumra. Vibal, since it's a Gzera Drabbanon, therefore it's going to be Asur, even B'Shevi Al Taseh.
Okay.
That's the Chiddush here. I mean,
now, it's possible that there's a Gzera that comes secondary beyond, there's Isur Drabbanon and there's a Gzera Drabbanon on the same end. But there would not be such a thing.
Yeah, that could be. And then what we would say is the following. B'Toras Malacha, you don't violate it because you did it B'Shevi Al Taseh. You set it up in a way that it would achieve. Like, for example, in Ashmas Kol, we said until now that Ashmas Kol is mutter for the sake of a chola. Right? So there's a certain noise that we can make that calms down the chola. And we're allowed to do that for the sake of the chola. Why? Because Ashmas Kol is only what? A gzeret bar. What happens, forget about a chola, if I would set up a Hashmas Kol that would go off on Shabbos, but I set it up on Erev Shabbos. This is what we call, in modern Hebrew, a Sha'on Me'orer, right? So that's a case that he's going to deal with later on. He's got an alarm clock, which he sets up on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to start ringing and making music on Shabbos to wake him up. A lot of people do this. According to what we're saying now, since A, Hashmas Kol is only a Gzera Derabbanan on Shabbos, it's not a Malacha Derabbanan, and B, since a Gzera Derabbanan is Asur, even if he does it for Shevi Altaseh, that means as long as he sets up a chain reaction such that there'll be a Hashmas Kol, that's enough to violate the Gzera of Hashmas Kol. And that's really interesting. No, we're not posketing here. You're, let's not get nervous. You'll consult your local Orthodox rabbi, but I'm just saying, in Lumdus.
Yeah, but that isn't the case I'm talking about. I'm talking about a case like it's Yom Tov Sheni, Sheldolius, okay? And then the day after Shabbos, and you're going to cook. You're going to cook me Yom Tov Sheni onto Shabbos, okay? The Rabbana Yom Tov Sheni, it has all its came to your Raisa in terms of its of all of its Isurim. But and now you're going so that ordinarily would make it Osir for you to cook may say Yom Tov Sheni the Chol. I mean, comes to Yom Tov Sheni the Shabbos. You have to make an Erev Tavshilin. The Erev Tavshilin is a Gzeirah to Rabbanan, but it's a Gzeirah to Rabbanan.
Well, I don't know if it's relevant to have discussion now, but I think your example of Yom Tov Sheni would be a perfect example of a Malacha D'Rabbanan.
Yeah, no, that's a
not Gzeirah D'Rabbanan.
That's a Malacha D'Rabbanan.
Now you want to know Hachana. What about Hachana? Is Hachana Gzeirah D'Rabbanan or is Hachana Malacha D'Rabbanan?
So what are you going to do now? So it's Yisur D'Rabbanan, but you still have to prepare for Shabbos. So why? So where does the Erev Tavshilin come in there? Why do I need an Erev Tavshilin for it?
Because ain't Yom Tov Mechin l'Shabbos, right? You're not allowed to be Mechin from one day of Kodesh to another day of Kodesh.
Except that this Yom Tov is the Rabbanan, it's not the Yoraisa. So we say, why don't we, wouldn't it have made sense to say that the Rabbanan would never geyser on Yom Tov Sheni when it's a Hachon of l'Shabbos?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. And for that, I have to learn Masechta Beitzah.
Yes, I mean,
but again, I think in terms of the conceptual structure, you're right that intuitively we would say that Yom Tov Sheni, insofar as an extension of Moloch of Yom Tov, and in the original formulation it was Sfeika D'Yoma, so the Rabbanan are now freezing the Sfeika D'Yoma and imposing it upon Yom Tov Sheni because of Midag Avos Eiv Yedeinu, whatever it is,
right.
So that should be a Moloch in the Rabbanan. Again, in terms of whether or not we need an Erev and why we need an Erev, I don't know, for that we'll have to learn Masechta debates. Alright, let's go on, Rabbo. So we're now opening up a very fascinating branch or discussion in this context. We have, with regard to Meleches Bishul, two Derabbanans, two categories, or two different Isuri Derabbanan. And we're going to analyze those two, each one respectively, in terms of Gzeira versus Melech. What do Derabbanan do? So what are these two categories? One is called Shehiya, and the other is called Chazara. Now the fascinating thing about Shehiya is that the actual Kumva Se of Shehiya is done when? On Erev Shabbos. In fact, if I have a Gemara here, I'll show you that the Gemara says explicitly, let's see if I can find this, that Shehiya is a Shevi Altaseh. Let's see if we can find this Gemara. This is in Perikira, I think it's on should be trouble with this Gemara is that I have here. Does anybody have a regular Gemara? I had one here. I don't know. Oh, here I found it. Here, take a look on Lamed Ches Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, the following. The last two words on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. It says, "Boy minei." The Gemara asks the following question: Shachach kedera al gabi kira ubishla b'shabbos. In other words, in a shogeg situation, we violated Shehiya, so he left his uncooked food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos, Ubishla b'Shabbos, and it got cooked on Shabbos. Mahu. Do we impose what's called the Iser Maisa Shabbos in such a case? He didn't actually cook it on Shabbos, but he violated the Gzeirah Drabbanan of Shehiya and he let it cook on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rav of Rav Yosef, Amri Travayu Lehetera. There is no Iser of enjoying this Tavshil that was cooked as a result of the violation of Shehiya. Why? When do we impose the Iser of Maisa Shabbos Mevashel? To who ka'ovid Maisa? Avol hai lo ka'ovid Maisa. In other words, Bishul requires a Maisa, Bishul Doraisa Melach and Shabbos, but here he didn't do any Maisa. Now everybody asks, what do you mean he didn't do any Maisa? He put the pot on the fire. Well, but when did he put the pot on the fire? On Erev Shabbos. That's not considered a violation of any Iser. The Iser is that he left the pot on the fire going into Shabbos.
That's
called Ein Bo Maisa. And the Gemara thinks that the Tavshil is only Asur if it was created, if it was cooked as a result of a Maisa. In any event, why do I mention this Gemara? Because this is a clear-cut proof that Shehiya is a case of a, according to everything we've been saying, who can finish my sentence? Not a malacha d'rabbanon, but rather a gzeira d'rabbanon. Everybody have that? Because the Gemara says that by definition, Shehiya is b'shevi altas. Now we have another category of an isa d'rabbanon and bishul. That's called chazara. Meaning, on Shabbos, I have something, let's say, even if it's cooked already, but I want to put it on the blech, and excuse me, starting in, I want to put it on the oven, on the fire, in order to heat it up.
Right.
And on a deraisa level, I'm not violating any Iser because ain't bishul achar bishul, it's already cooked, and the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to put it back on. And chazara is only going to be mutter in very restricted circumstances. There, we're tempted to think that perhaps we're dealing not with a gzera de Rabbanan, but rather with a malacha de Rabbanan. So nafkamina, for example, would chazara be mutter l'tzar chole? Shehiya would be mutter b'makom chole because we said that gzeirah d'rabbanan of Shabbos is mutter b'makom chole. We gave many, many examples. And if we're proving that Shehiya is only gzeirah d'rabbanan because it's b'shevi al taseh, then it would be mutter b'makom chole. Or ask a different question. If somebody is an outright apikores for the sake of Shehiya, you know, he's dedicated to violate Shehiya, then would he be a mumar, at least mirabbanan, according to Rav Akiva? The answer is no, because that's only gzeirah d'rabbanan. But when you get to chazara, now we can wonder exactly what's going on over here. Is chazara, since it's b'kum v'aseh, a gzeirah d'rabbanan? We'll soon see why the Rabbanan made this gzeirah. Or is it a malacha d'rabbanan? Because now the action of putting it on the fire is so similar to what? To an act of bishul, although again, technically it's not bishul because ain't bishul acha bishul, that the Rabbanan considered it as an act of bishul. So if you take a look here on the top left of page Nun Hey, he writes the following. He says, Kayotzi bazemetzinu b'shehiya shehi gzeira. And has he know that she is only a gzeira? Because you can only violate this iser of shehiya b'shev v'altas. With shehiyas, he leaves the pot on the fire. V'eino ose maisa klal b'kuvase. He gives another example of a gzeira d'rabbanon. Okay, this is a little bit of a digression for a moment. And that's called Osir Lalos Be'ilon B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. We're afraid that you might pluck something off the tree. So the Gemara establishes in Erevin that if he climbs the tree on Erev Shabbos, and he shoes sham B'Shabbos, in other words, he passively remains in the state of being on the tree on Shabbos, so the Gemara establishes in Masechta Erevin that he violates the Gzeira of Ein Olin Be'ilon. even though there was no Maisa, because the Maisa of Aliyah he did yesterday. It's exactly like Rabbi Kivega's case of a Maisa Kinyan on Erev Shabbos with a Chalos Kinyan on Shabbos. Or in the case of Shehiyah, he puts the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos and leaves it there on Shabbos. He climbs up the tree on Erev Shabbos and he remains in the tree on Shabbos. His Gemara says he violates the Gzeira Rabbanon, because all these cases of Kinyan b'Shabbos, of Shehiyah b'Shabbos, of Aliyah b'Ilan, they are all Gzeros. And if they're Gzeros, you can violate the Gzera because of the state of being, even without a Maisa. So your state of being on top of the tree is prohibited, Midrabban. Your state of being Kona something through a passive way is a violation of the Gzera Drabanan. And your state of leaving your pot on the fire and allowing you to cook on Shabbos, even though you put the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, that state of being is enough to constitute a violation of a Gzera Drabanan, which means that in all these three cases, had it been a Malacha Drabanan, it would not be a violation. But in all these three cases, paradoxically, we're more Machmir here because it's a Gzera Drabanan. So we'll see about Chazara in just a minute. But before we get to Chazara, he has a long piece here about the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Lamed Ches. So let's see what's going on in Shin Lamed Ches. This is the Siman of Hashmas Kol about music and all those kinds of sounds. And this is a very strange kind of situation, in which they're having a Sudas Nisuin on Friday night. And back in the day that was quite common, because simply for
to save money.
So they would have the wedding on Friday, and the Suda took place Friday night. And how could you have a Sudas Nisuin without music? And you laugh. It sounds contemporary. I mean, imagine having it today in Yerushalayim. You know, some people are so mocked because of the cherem back 100 years ago. They'll only have a drummer on this, but then the mekilim allow at least one musical instrument, maybe more, whatever the different minhagim are. But Shtel Zafar, I mean, imagine you invite someone to a Sudas Nisuin. Bad enough, you're just barring the Sudas Shabbos for that. But on top of that, there's no music. Says the Mechaber, Simon Shin Lamed Ches, Yesh Matirim Lomar Li Eina Yehudi L'Nagein B'Kli Shir B'Chupa. It means after the chuppah, really. It says the chuppah, but it means the Sudas Nisuin. I mean, this sounds like conservative Judaism, does it not? You know, there's a whole movement in Hungary called, I don't know, I'm not pronouncing it right, Nirolog. Did you ever hear this? Mm-hmm. Where they used to have the organs play in the shul on Erev Shabbos. Supposedly, they would stop the music, Misha Kashaych, when it got dark. I'm not sure if they did or they didn't. But it's all, you know, for the sake of enhancing the tefillah on Shabbos. And here, for the sake of enhancing Sudas Nisuin. And the Mechaber quotes Yesh Matirim. Says the Mishnah Bura, why is there a kula here? Why are they matir? He says, the Isur Hashmas Kol B'Kli Shir Eino Ela Isur Derabanan. So Hashmas Kol is a Derabanan. There's no Isra in music on Shabbos. The Torah is not one of the 39 Malachas. Gzeira Shema Yisakein Kli Shir.
Right.
So let's emphasize the word Gzeira over here, because now we want to be Matir Hashmas Kol for the sake of a mitzvah. The only problem is, I'm not sure for the sake of a mitzvah is the same as for a chola. You know, in the case of a chola, we said we were Matir a Gzeira Drabbanon, like Hashmas Kol, to calm down the chola so he gets a good night's sleep. I'm not sure for the sake of a mitzvah we go a step further. So the Magen Avraham has this kal v'chomer, that which we're matir for the sake of a chola, we can certainly be matir for the sake of a mitzvah. However, the Mishnah Berurah is not going with that sheet of the Magen Avraham.
Who's
going
to make the tikkun anyways?
So he says, what should he do? If we're not going to go with the Magen Avraham, and we're going to say that Hashmas Kol is only mutter for chola, here Baruch Hashem we have no chola, and for the Var Mitzvah of Sudas Nisuin, we're not going to be mocked at Hashmas Kol. because we're not going to be matir gzeira drabanan for the sake of a mitzvah. So how do we justify this yesh misha matir who allows this hashmas kol on Shabbos for the sake of sudas nesuin? So he says that's only through a nachri. Why? Because the Eini Yehudi, he's going to provide the music, and that's a shvus of Amir al-Nachri. And he says, Havi shvus to shvus b'mako mitzvah. That Simchas Chasam Akala is a mitzvah. And for the sake of that mitzvah, we're allowing a violation of Gzeirah D'Rabbanah and of Hashmas Kol, together with, when we can couple it together with Amir al-Nachri, which is also a shvus. So we have a double shvus. And as the music itself, even if the Jew would play the music, would only be a gzeirah drabanan because of the shvus of Shemi attacking klishir. And now he's not playing the music himself, but he's only instructing the guy to play the music, which means Amir al-Nachri, that's called shvus to shvus. And since Simchas Chasam Akal is a mitzvah, is shvus to shvus, b'makom mitzvah.
Well, why do you have to come to that, Rebbe? Why did it push it? If the gzeira of Hashmas Kol, because of Tikkun Kli, the guy is playing the instrument, he's going to be the one that's going to be masaking it. There's no for him altogether to do it. So we don't need the gzeira, doesn't apply.
Okay, hold on to that question for a minute. Then he says the following: the ayin shut mari chelik aleph, etc., etc., shall oser lenagen, etc., etc., afil al yedei eini yehudi. Okay, so now let's figure out what's going on over here. From the perspective of the principle called shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, we understand the first daya, which is codified here in the Machaber, as yesh mishamati. But then the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Machmirim. V'tama Machmirim. Why is there room for a chumrah here? And he says a gevaldik chiddush. What is the nature of this iser of Hashmas Kol? Is it to do the action of playing music, or is it to have music played on your behalf? To use his language, shakol nishma, with an ayin at the end, ba'ado. Now, there's a problem here. I'm just saying this pedagogically. There's no problem, but I'm saying as if there's a problem. How can you tell me that there's an Isra of Shabbos Shakol Nishma Bado? If it's Shakol Nishma Bado, what kind of Aver do you have?
Yes,
it's a Shevi Alta. We just finished saying that the Yisoda Yisodas, Vishorash HaShabbos, is the Kumbaseh. And there's no Melech HaShabbos without a Kumbaseh. So how can you postulate that the Iser here is to have a Hashmas Kol on my behalf if I am completely passive? And what's the answer, Rabbi Osai? Gzera. That it's a gzera, not a malacha. If we're dealing with malacha Shabbos, enochinami, to have the kol being played, as Alan said before, what's the Easter over here? I'm not playing music, somebody else is playing music. And for the guy, he's allowed to play music on Shabbos. Ella, the Easter here, in terms of this shvus, why am I violating the shvus, is because I set it up that the guy should make music on my behalf. That's called hakol nishma ba'adi. And that itself, in terms of Gzeirah Drabbanan, constitutes a violation of Gzeirah. If I have music going, and I set it up in such a way, right, I put the quarter in the jukebox on Erev Shabbos, and it plays on Shabbos, then it's Gzeirah of Shemi Yitak and Klishir. Oh. So now Rav Shechter wants to go a step further. He wants to suggest that if the nature of the Shvus is not having music playing on my played on my behalf, then he says, by telling the guy to play, you gain nothing whatsoever. You still violate the shvus. When do I lower the level of the avera? By telling a guy to do it, that's only if I deal with the malacha. And since a malacha requires a maisa, a kumvaseh, if the guy does it for me, that reduces it one notch. But in a case where we deal with a gzeira derabanan, and the gzeira derabanan, you violate even b'shei v'altas, and by having the music playing on your behalf, or played on your behalf, then the guy doesn't help me at all. So therefore the yesh machmirim here, which he quotes the name Mari, are of the opinion that this is not a shvus to shvus. This is only one shvus. The one shvus is that Hashmas Kol is a gzera because you might come to be Mesakin Klishir. But you violated that gzera 100%. Even though you were Shevi Altaseh, but that was a full-fledged violation of this gzera because that's the nature of gzera Shabbos. And therefore, if you set up the guy to be mashmiya the music, that doesn't gain a thing. In other words, on a deraisa level, you're not chayev for making music. The Chachomim say we're afraid if you make music, then you might come to be metakin klishir. The Rabbanon, in formulating that gzera, included even a case of Amir Eliyakov, because there also the music is playing because of you. And if the music is playing because of you, that's a violation of this gzera, even though you are Shevi Altas. Does everybody have that? I'm afraid it doesn't sit well with me. Yeah, but first let's see if we got the cheshvin here. There's a lot of mathematics here. Okay, let's read it inside. He says, "V'tama machmirim nira levayer demashmiya kol eno osu v'rabbanu b'toras milocha ela b'toras gzera shemi yitakin klishir." And that we already saw at the very beginning of this discussion, because we were matir Hashmas Kol for a chole, and we would never be matir a molocha derabanan for a chole unless it was kalachar yad, unless it was only a gzera derabanan. So how are we? Right. That was the sugya on kufchav test. You remember? If you go back again, I don't want to drive you crazy running around here, but you trust me on top, on page nun, which is the first page we started. On line 3, he says ayin Shabbos kufchav test. And he says over there, I'm sorry, Ayin Erevin Kuf Dalid, okay, Matifin Miarak Lechole B'Shabbos, it makes a lot of noise. Tishmashmiya Kol Mutu B'Mokum Chole Shein Bo Sakona. So for the sake of a Chole, we're allowed this Miarak business. And that proves that Mashmiya Kol is only a Gzera Drabar, because we only allow Gzeros B'Mokum Chole. Now that we have a gzera of makom chole, I'm sorry. Now that we have a gzera of mashmiya kol, then he says, "Memela shayach shiya iser afilu b'shevi altas." Umemela, if it's even b'shevi altas, yeshlomer to be akum hamenagein biad haYisrael. So the guy is picking up the fiddle on behalf of the Jewish simcha here. HaYisrael over Yashir. Yashir meaning directly Al-Hach Gzera. I mean, it's an absolute head-on collusion. He's violating the Gzera. Ain't kan Shvus de Shvus Klal. Shvus de Shvus means that Amir Eliyakim now adds another element and reduces the Chumas Haver, but here the Amir Eliyakim doesn't change the Haver at all, because the Haver was the Gzera that would apply even if you told the guy to be Mashmir the Kol. Is Masha Etzem Maisa Negina Nasal Yidei Nachri Einze Mo'il Lahorid Es Chumas Ha'isur Lomadregi Yosei Nemucha Ela Harei HaYisrael Over Al Gzera Shal Mashmiya Kol Afil B'Shevi Al Tasev B'Masha Kol Nishma Ba'ado. And here is a footnote which you don't want to read, Yechiel, about the alarm clock.
But this started as a question of the, or comment of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham was the one who held that you have the Kalo Chomer for a Chole to extend that to a Heter Machal Mitzvah. Why did the Magen Avraham himself need that to allow this? If it's Makom Mitzvah because it's a chasana, why didn't he allow right off the bat the Gzeira Duravan of Mashmiya Kol, the Makom Mitzvah, without the
right? I think because the Magen Avraham says that only if absolutely necessary, if we can't find any other way of doing it, then he says that you can be Matir for a Chola. You remember, for example, we said that if, let's say, you have a Ner, and the Ner is Dolik on Shabbos, and it's disturbing a Chola. So we said,
put up a sheet instead of a
right, package. Exactly. The Miri said, put up a sheet. In other words, when it's called Dchuya, not Hutra. So here, what we can suggest is, says the Magen Avraham, that why don't you appoint a guy through Amir L'Nachri to make this music for the sake of the Chasana? And that's the sheet of the Marit, which is reflected here in the Shulchan Aruch, but the Mishnah Berurah is quoting another sheet of Chumrah, and we were wondering about this, because Shvus to Shvus from Makom Mitzvah is a pretty famous kula, and nobody seems to question it. We're going to have to add here that it's not it's not a shvus to shvus. You don't have a second shvus here. You really are violating one single shvus, which he calls ba'ofen yashir. But it's all based on the yisod that there's such a thing as a gzeira derabanan, which you violate even b'shevi altas. And he gives another example here from the Igle Tal. This is on the top of page Nun Vav. And he says that if, let's say, you're not allowed to use medicines on Shabbos, okay, or you cannot apply some sort of medical procedure on Shabbos, unless it's obviously a chol sheyesh bo sakana. So the Igle Tal wants to know, can I tell a guy to put the refuah on my injury, such that I'm not actively violating the Issur refuah on Shabbos? And Rav Shechter says, well, how do you define the Issur refuah on Shabbos? Is it a malacha or is it a gzera? If it's a malacha, then you gain something by telling the guy to do it because you are passive. And there's no malacha b'shevi altasa. But if on the other hand, refuah is just a gzera shemi yishchak samamonim, then b'toras gzera, you don't gain anything by telling the guy to do it. And that's what the Igle Tal says. The Amir l'nachri l'hasim refuah al-gabi makasa shel Yisrael Eino nikra shvus to shvus latiro b'makom choli b'makom tsar. And here's where Rav Shechter adds, the refua eino malacha midrabanon ela gzera drabanon shema yishchak samamonim u gzera zu asra afilu b'shevi altas memela b'mesha Yisrael misrape. Like the case of the kol shenishma ba'ado, the Yisrael is a misrape on Shabbos. Afilu shelo osa shum maisa biyadayim lahosim esasabim al gabi makoso choshiv kvar Yisrael ka over al hach gzeres refua achol pisha osa ken al yidei nochri. Wow. So let's just make a, you know, there's so much information here that it's kedai to review this. Number one, we're saying that there would be an isur of creating a kinyan on Erev Shabbos, which would be chal on Shabbos. That was the tshuva of Kivega, even though he shaved the altas, because the isur of kinyan is a gzera. Number two, we said that shehia is a violation of a gzera drabanan. And even though he shaved the altas, when he puts the pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and now he's passive on Shabbos, nevertheless he violates a gzera derabanan. Had it been a malacha derabanan, it would be mutter because there's no maisa malacha. We said that Shemayala be'ilon is only a gzera derabanan, and therefore paradoxically it could be also l'chumra even if you climbed up the tree on Erev Shabbos. Now we're saying that the Isur of Hashmas Kol is a Gzera Drabana, which again ostensibly would be a Kula, because we're going to allow it for Makom Choli, but yet we're going to say that Hashmas Kol, if I need L'chatchila Shvus to Shvus, we're not sure exactly why, but let's say because of Dechuya, then the Poskim want to say that send it through an Akum, let him blow the trumpets. We gain nothing according to the Machmirim, because since it's a Gzera of Shema Yitake and Kli Shir, it doesn't matter whether you do it actively or passively. So again, we're coming to the following conclusion, Rabbi Osai. Let this sink in. I'm talking to myself. Let this sink in, Berzon. You're telling me that if you violate a Gzera Derabanan through an Akum, you gain absolutely nothing. Because once it's a gzera, you're shifting the emphasis from the what we call a maisa to the totzas a maisa, or what we would call in modern Hebrew masev and matzav. The matzav itself, which results from the maisa, is what the rabbanon prohibited, because that matzav on Shabbos will lead you to a violation. That's called the gzera rabbanon. So therefore, when we're talking about an Issur Kinyan on Shabbos, we're not talking about a Maisa Avera, we're talking about a Matzav, or a Totza'ah, namely the Chalos Kinyan. When we're talking about Aliyah Le'ilon, we're not talking about the Maisa Aliyah Le'ilon, but being on the state of being, that's what I mean by the Matzav, of being on the Ilon, hanging on the tree is also min Rabbana b'Torah's Gzera. And when we're talking about Shehiyah, the situation in which I have a pot that is full of food and is sitting on an open fire on Shabbos and cooking, that matzav, which I was responsible for creating, is itself a violation of a gzera d'rabbanan. And so too, Hashmas Kol as a gzera shem yitakin klishir, if I set it up that the music is playing, and why is the music playing? Because I have a guy who's playing it for me, That guy is not going to reduce the violation in any way in the severity, because it is a violation of one shvus, not two shvusim, and the same is going to apply according to Glital in the case of refuah. If I tell the guy to put the refuah on my makkah, I gain absolutely nothing. It's as if I had put the refuah on my makkah, not because of a lavdus in Amir Ladakum, but simply because refuah is a gzera. And a gzera means the situation of having the sam on my injury, that matzav is itself the gzera d'rabbanan.
Correct.
Malachas Machshavas puts all the emphasis on the Maisa Malacha. And the Gzeira Rabbanu puts all the emphasis on the Totsah. And therefore the concept of Grama, which we spoke about on many occasions. Were you here when we discussed Tzedo? Or you were in Chutzlai? So the Rambam has a case where he sends out his dog. And the dog actually, yeah, the hunting dog, and he says he's chayev from Malachas Tzedem. We raised a hullabaloo here, because how can he be chayev for such a tzedem? He didn't do the tzedem; the dog did the tzedem. So without getting into detail, but the question was grama, and the Gemara says explicitly that gram kibu is mutter. So the answer is that when it comes to Malach Einokinami, we have to deal with Grama. And that becomes a primary issue. We always have to answer the question, why would I be Chayim on Shabbos for something that's Grama? But that's because on Shabbos, the Malach has to be violated through a Kumvaseh, and Grama is not a Kumvaseh. Mashen, can we get to the Rabbanans? If we're not talking about a Malach of the Rabbanan, but rather a Gzeira the Rabbanan, then the whole concept of Grama gets thrown overboard. Grama becomes irrelevant. You imagine the following case. I tell John... that wasn't fair. I messed up there, John. I apologize. Okay. Give me a good classical Goyish name. What? I have a friend named Nick, and he's quite religious. What? Today there are no names that are uniquely Goyish. I mean, we've adopted all of them.
Christopher.
Oh, Christopher. Okay. I'm sure you'll find a Jewish Christopher out there. Okay. But I need one more name in order to demonstrate what I want to demonstrate. Give me another name.
Patrick.
Okay, good. So I tell Christopher to tell Patrick to violate a malacha for me on Shabbos. That's called Amira L'Amira. So the answer would be the following. The fact that it's a second level Amira would help me if we're dealing with the malacha d'Rabbanan. Because again, I'm getting further and further away from doing the malacha. But if I'm talking about Gzeira d'Rabbanan, then it matters not how many different Christophers and Patricks I have on the way, because at the end of the day, I was the one who caused the malacha. And the Iser is the matzav, the totsah, and therefore it doesn't matter how many chadganyas along the way. You know, I can have a whole domino theory, but at the end of the day, I was the cause, and that's going to be considered, that matzav is related to me, and that's going to be considered a violation of Gzeira. So Rabbosai, this essay really should be divided into Roman numeral 1 and Roman numeral number 2. On the one hand, half of the essay is about the chumra of a malacha d'rabbanan. That in a malacha d'rabbanan, we're not going to be matir b'makom cholin. And in a malacha d'rabbanan, we're going to always require kelach hayad to be mafkia, the shame malacha, and make it into gzera. And then Roman numeral number 2 is gzera d'rabbanan. And here, paradoxically, as Yechiel says, The Gzeira d'Rabbanan operates with the exact opposite mechanics as a Malacha d'Oraisa. And that which would not even be considered a Havamin of a Malacha becomes a violation of a Gzeira. The good news is, so to speak, that if he violates the Gzeira d'Rabbanan, he's not a Mumar. Mm-hmm. So that's the good news. Alright, let's go on, Rabbos. We have a lot to do and time is short. Now we want to get to Chazara. Until now we've been discussing Shehiyah. Shehiyah takes place, the Maisa takes place when? On Erev Shabbos. But Chazorah takes place on Shabbos. How do we deal with Chazorah, and how do we define Chazorah? So here he tells you to take a look in the Mishnah Berurah in Reish Nun Gimel. Reish Nun Gimel is the Siman that's dedicated to the Iser Shehiyah and the Iser Chazorah. The Ramah writes in Sif Hey, Asur Lomer Li'Eino Yehudi LaHachem HaKdera Shenitztanina. So I have a pot of cooked food and it cooled off, and I want the guy to do me a favor and put it back on the fire. which would be normally an Iser Chazara on Shabbos, but I'm not doing it, the guy is doing it. Can I have the guy do it for me? And the Ramah says no. Says the Bir Aloch Vafilu Dover Yovesh and Espashel called Sarko. It's completely cooked, but Elish and its Tanein, it's okay. If it's not in its Tanein, then it might not be an Aver of Chazor. You have to know all the sugyas of Chazor for that. Oh. He says, V'afal Pisha Einbo Mishum Chashash Bishol Od. The Issa Chazor applies even though there's no Bishol, you're only heating it up, but it's completely cooked. And he says that for this you have to learn Simon Shin Yud Ches. So the two Simonim, which are separated by hundreds of Simonim, but they really belong together. Shin Yud Ches, which comes much later, and Reish Nun Gimel. Those two, like our Chevra, you know, when they study for the Bechina, they have to do these two Simonim as one unit. Because the Ikrim, the fundamentals of Bishul, and what defines Bishul, is in Shin Yud Ches. Reish Nun Gimel is already the Drabanans of Bishul. So it's a, it's an odd kind of thing that, you know, to learn Reish Nun Gimel, you really have to know Shin Yud Ches, which is almost 100 Simonim later, 80 Simonim later. Yeah, but that's the way it is, because the Shulchan Aruch is interested in the calendar. That's what Rav Salvechik has always pointed out, that there's such a fundamental difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. You know, the Rambam was never interested in the calendar. You know, the Rambam is going to be interested in the Yesodei HaLacha. And he's going to organize his chibur such that you go from the fundamentals to the more complicated. Whereas Mechaber is much more interested in the sequence. You know, he's going to start with Birchas HaShachar, you know, because that's what you do when you wake up in the morning. So he's going to start with Erev Shabbos, that's Reish Nun Gimel, and then he's going to get to Shabbos itself in Shin Yud Ches. But you have to know Shin Yud Ches in order to know Reish Nun Gimel. So that's what the Bir Halacha does for us. That he says over there, if you take a look in Shin Yud Ches, there's no Bishul if something is completely cooked, even if it cooled off. You can put it back on the fire according to the Torah law. But now in Reish Nun Ches, you're not allowed to do it Midrabbana. Afilu Hachi Osu Lechamamo. And he says, Afilu Al Yidei Eino Yehudi. Oh. So now he asks the following question. We have a principle called Shmus the Shmus. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Aloch wants to understand, since Chazor itself is a Shmus, because it's already Mavushal called Tzarko, and Amir Lenachri is a Shmus, we now can piggyback one Shmus on top of the other. And he wants to heat up his food for his Suda Shabbos, so it's Shmus the Shmus B'Makom Mitzvah. And yet the Ramah prohibits it. And then he quotes a Shari Tshuva over there in Shin Yud Ches, B'Shem Ma'arit. The Ma'arit, I think, was in that twilight zone, you know, the end of the Rishon, the beginning of the Akronim. L'Hakel B'Dov. Kol She'en Lo Marok. Okay, you know, you have to know about liquids here, but let's say it's a pure solid. Correct? And you don't have all the Tanayim, the, you know, the conditions that would allow Chazor. You know, you didn't pick it up and put it down again. So basically, you're taking something that's fully cooked out of your fridge and putting it on an open fire on Shabbos. But you're doing it through a gut. So if you did it yourself, that would be a violation of a Shavuos. That you can't do even B'Mok HaMitzvah. But if you add another element into the equation and tell the guy to do the Chazor, then it's Shavuos to Shavuos B'Mok HaMitzvah. Oh, so now we get back to the drawing board. You know, is this really an additional kula? Are we lowering the level of the avera of chazara by having a guy violate chazara? So that would depend, according to this article, on whether chazara is what is a gzera or a malacha. So let's go over this. This is the paradox here. If it was a malacha, if I define chazara as a malacha mid rabbanon, the rabbanon is saying, forget about ein bishul achar bishul, yesh bishul achar bishul. What you are doing looks like bishul, tastes like bishul, and smells like bishul. Is then we can be matir through an ein yehudi, because now it's one shvus with another shvus. There's no ma'isa malacha. But if paradoxically we're going to define and categorize Chazor as a gzera, then you gain nothing by telling an Eini Yehudi. Is the Melo, we're going to have a perfect analysis here of the machlokis that the Bir Halacha is codifying here between the Marit, who is Matir, and the Ramah, who is Machmir. Again, we're talking about Chazara al Yedei Eino Yehudi, with Tzorech Suda Shabbos. It's a cool idea. I mean, when you think about it, if you have a guy to working in your house, and you know you got all the schnitzel that's in the fridge, and you want to put on an open fire on Shabbos, just tell the shiksa to do it, right? Why? Because the Marit is Matir. Problem is Ramos Machmir. Okay, fine. You know, that's a minor problem. But we understand the lumpness of the Marit. The Marit is saying it's a shvus to shvus for Makom Mitzvah. So Rav Shechter wants to know, what is the Siba, what is the Hezber for the Machmirim, which is codified here by the Ramah, that blocks the application of this universal rule in Shabbos of shvus to Makom Mitzvah? And you can guess, and we could already, Baruch Hashem, we could write the script ourselves. It all depends on how you define the Isur Chazara. That's why he titles this section, this Os Hei, as Geder Begeder Isur Chazara. Now, I would like to show you something that I found before this article about the Geder of Isur Chazara. So I'm going to see, did I make enough copies of this? If you can pass this around. Whoops. This is from the Sefer Hare Kedem, right, Rav Michal Shurkin, quoting the Rav. So I don't know, I might be short one copy. I don't know.
I'm going to give mine up in a second.
Okay, great. So Zev will have a copy for you in a second. And he says, B'yisod Isur Chazara B'Shabbos. You have it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara has a suffix. Do we paskin like Hananya, who's Matir Shehiyah, or do we paskin like the Chachamim? It all depends on how to read the first Mishnah in Kira. The Chachamim say that Shehiyah is Osr. So the Rif wants to prove that we paskin that Shehiyah is Osr against Hananya. Again, you should know that even Hananya has an Isa Shehiyah if it's less than what's called Bishol below Bishol. If it's in that twilight zone where it started Bishol, but it didn't get to Kemaich HaMedrosoi. But the Machlokas is going to be, let's say it got to Kemaich HaMedrosoi, and now I want to leave it on the open fire in Erev Shabbos so it'll be fully cooked. And we Paskin says the Rif, like the Chachamim L'chumra, and you're not allowed to do Shehiyah. How does the Rif know this? The Gemara never says, Hilchasa Kiravonim D'Chananya. Mistabalon, the Hachi Humaskana, that Shehiyah is also, the Basar the Shakla Vitaria, Iboilahu, the Gemara has the following suffix. Mao Lismochla, are we allowed to do Smicha? Now, this Smicha has nothing to do with reeds. This Smicha means, Zev, that flew over your head. Reitz. Reitz is Rashi Tevis Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chana. That's the yeshiva that gives smicha to a lot of people. Hopefully they're all royal with smicha. Okay, okay. So now what happens is that I do smicha. What's smicha? Instead of putting the food inside the oven on top of the fire, the ovens in those days were like a triangle kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? And the outside of the oven gets burning hot. What I do is I take my pot of food and I smack it up against the side of the pot. Okay. Obviously, I have to suspend it. On top of the oven. Not on top of the oven, but on the side of the oven. Do we have it? That's called smich.
Yeah.
So the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether or not, even within the context of Chazara, even in the context of Shehiyah, what would be if I left my pot, Erev Shabbos, not on the fire, but on the, smack it up against the side of the pot? Says the Rif, Ibailu Mau Lismok, the Gemara has a suffix. Do we say Smich is Mutav? Why Tolcha Vigaba Hudi Asur? I will lismok shapir dummy, this is Gemara's language. O Dilma Loshna. Umidam Rinan Tocha Vagaba Hu Diasur. But Shehiyah might be mutter going to one side. Shamhinan Diasul Lishos Al Gabikira Shehida Grufa Vaniktum and open fire. Meaning, why would the Gemara have a suffix about Shehiyah in Smicha if Shehi itself is mutter. In other words, the Gemara would not build a safek on a shita that wasn't accepted la locha. That's the mechanics, right? So now that we've accepted the Isa Shehi against Hananya, now we want to know, okay, Shehi directly on the pot, but what about on the side of the oven? Smich. So the Baal HaMor goes ballistic. What kind of raya is that? Says the Baal HaMor. My raya yesh b'zeh. Halo yesh smicha b'chazorah, kamo sheyesh smicha b'shehiyah. Who says that the Gemara was talking about Shehiyah? Maybe the Gemara was talking about chazorah, but instead of putting the pot on the fire, you put it on the side of the kira.
Would that be like a tomb?
I can't hear you.
Would that be like a tomb?
Yeah. It might be like Khatum, you're right, but that depends exactly how you understand Khatum, because if you understand Khatum legabre, we never know whether a person does a Gufa Khatum legabre. We don't want to rely on human, but let's say the guy takes a Shmuel d'oraisa with two Eidim that he did an absolute Gufa Khatum, and there's nothing left inside the oven. Then you're not talking about, you know, this discussion. This discussion has to do with heating up a pot in a very unusual way by smacking it up against the side of the tanur. In din, if we're mekel on smicha, then it has the same status as a gufa niktum. But again, all that applies on Erev Shabbos. How does the Rif know that the Gemara is talking about Erev Shabbos, meaning Shehiyah? Says the Baal HaMor, "Hello, yesh smicha b'chazara." Maybe the Gemara is assuming that Shehiyah would be mutter, even on the fire. But since chazara is asur, what if I do my chazara on the side of the pot? Excuse me, the side of the oven. So the Rav here in the paragraph that starts v'nira lomar makes a valiant attempt to justify the Rif. And it's mamish brilliant. He builds himself on a Rashi at the beginning of Kira. The Mishnah in Kira, at the beginning of Kira, speaks about Shehiyah and speaks about Chazorah. When it speaks about Shehiyah, Rashi interprets it as Gzera Shemiyachate Begecholim. That if you leave your pot on an open fire, the coals are hot, he may be tempted, in case the coals start cooling off, to poke the coals and violate Melechas Havara. Then when Rashi gets to Chazara, he says a whole different shtickle Torah. He says, Lo machzirim wai, zot Rashi, de mechse kimavasha. He drops the ball on Shema Yechata, and instead he says, mechse kimavasha. Tosis goes ballistic here, Tosis says no, it's the same old Gzera Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, even if you put the pot air of Shabbos, but since you left it on an open fire, you got coals that are hot, you might be tempted to poke the coals. Oh. So Rav Soloveitchik, building on this Rashi, wants to claim that Shehiyah and Chazara are two separate Gzeras that are fundamentally different one from the other. Shehiyah is not Mechzi Kimavasha. Because in Shehiyah, when did he put the pot on the fire? On Erev Shabbos. That can't be Mechzi Kimavasha. That's only Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. Masha'en Ken Chazara on Shabbos, that could be Mechzi Kimavasha. And the Rav says, my Nafkimina, Nafkimina Linyan Smicha. Why?
Right.
Because there's no difference in Hilchas Bishul between putting food on the fire or smacking it against the side of the tanur, which is called Toldus Ha'esh. Toldus Ha'esh is a Malacha D'oraisa of Bishul, according to everybody. There's no debate about that. What Toldus Ha'or, Toldus Ha'esh is the same. And therefore, says the Rif, what was the Havamina of the Gemara to assume that maybe we could make Il and Smicha? Meaning, if the Rif accepts Rashi and the definition or the fundamental underlying reasoning for the Iser Chazara is Mavashel, then what was the Gemara thinking by saying that maybe Smicha could be Muta? Smicha in no way lowers or how should I say, detonates the bomb of Bishul. The answer is that obviously the Gemara is holding that the din of Chazara, the Isur Chazara, is an Isur Mishum Gzeira Shem Yechata B'Gechol. And the Gzeira Shem Yechata B'Gechol only applies, according to this Svara in the Gemara, when the pot is sitting on the Gechol. That's called Betocha. But when it's on the outside, that's already, you know what I mean? He has a reminiscence. He'll remember that he shouldn't be Mechata B'Gechol. It's unusual. Why does the Baal HaMor reject the Rif? Because the Baal HaMor holds that the nature of the Isur is not a Gzeira Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, but rather a Maisa Bishon. He says, V'nira Lomar, the Yisod Rayas HaRif Toli B'Yisod Isur Shehiyah V'Chazorah Dehine Isur Shehiyah V'Shabbos U'Mishum Gzeira Shem Yechata. There's no other option. With regard to Shehiyah, you can't say Mechzik Mevashel if he put it on the fire at Erev Shabbos. Not only that, the Gemara explicitly in Shabbos Yud Chesam in Beis tells us that the reason for the Isur of Shehiyah is Gzeira Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. Ulam B'Tam Isur Chazara. Now there's room to go one way or the other. One way is to say that Isur Chazara is not a Gzeira Shem Yechata. It's much more fundamental than that. Ayin Rashi Reish Kira Shekosev Dir Maska Lo Machzirim B'Shabbos Demechzei Kemevash Mevuar Di Yisod Ha Iser Hu Mishum Losa Demevashel, meaning it's a subcategory of Bishol. Okay, fine. Now furthermore, Iser Shehi is an Iser B'Shevi Altas, and Chazor is considered an Iser B'Kum Vaseh, because the Gemara assumes that if you violate Chazor, then there's Maisa Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat the benefit, enjoy the benefit of the Maisa Chazara. Why? Because that's not like Shehiyah, which was Shevi Altase. Here it was a Kumvase. So you see that you can define Chazara in a way that's much, and that's fundamentally much different than that of Shehiyah. It's not a Shevi Altase, but rather it's a Kumvase. And why? Because of Rashi's Mexican Mavasha. Umiata, Yeshlama Desfile La Rif. The kevan shekein ain makom lechalik beiser chazor bemeiniach al gabei yoish mamish o somach lo the chavayu mixi kimevashel dov meleches mevashel gam somach liyish chashiv kimevashel betoldus haeish chashiv keish atzma umayich basli bein echu mevashel. What difference does it make if it's this kind of bishul or that kind of bishul? It's all the same bishul. Ubal karchach, we have no choice. But to conclude, if the Rav was here, he would say willy-nilly. I remember the first time we heard willy-nilly, we couldn't figure that out. Anyway, Ubal Kochach da Gemara Mayri Be'isa Shehiya. This is why the Rif assumed, without a shadow of a doubt, that if the Gemara was vacillating about Smicha, it must be the Gemara was talking about Shehiya. Why? Because in the case of Shehiyah, which is the Gzeira Shema Yechate, Yesh Makom Lechalik Ben Hanochal Gavi Akira LeHanochal Lismokla, there's less of a Gzeira. So again, according to the Rif, since he defines Chazara as Mechzi Kimavashel, the Gemara could not have had a Havamina that Chazara B'Smichu B'Mutah. Therefore, Al Korchenu, that the Suffolk in the Gemara was predicated on the Isa Shehiyah. Mashenkin about Amar Pligi Bazev, the Sfirle the Gam Isa Chazor Mishum Shema Yechate. And that's also the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yoshua, Lo Mishum Mavashel, Ishapa Yeshla Hamid Sveka Sagamara, Bein Beshehiyah, Bein Bechazor. This, my friends, is absolutely stunning. Now, if we plug this back in to our discussion of today, and now we're going to ask how to define Chazara. Is Chazara a Malacha derabanan or is it a Gzera derabanan? Is according to this Shtikl Torah, it's a machlokus between the Rif and the Baal HaMor. The Rif understands that we're dealing with a Malacha derabanan. And if we're dealing with a Malacha derabanan in the case of Chazara, it matters not whether you do it al Gabi Eish or Samach Eish. Mashenkin the Baal HaMor holds that Shem Yechat, the Chazor is an Isur Gzera of Shem Yechat of Gecholim, it's only a Gzera. So now the question is, getting back to this machlokas in Reishna and Gimel, would it be meaningful if I want to reheat my food on Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos to tell a guy to do it? The answer is that according to the Rif, it would be very meaningful. Because the Rif holds, like Rashi, that Chazara is a Molacha on Shabbos. And therefore, if I do it through the guy, I was Shevi Altas. But if I hold like the Balamar, that Chazara is only what? A Gzera, then here's the paradox. Because it's a Gzera, he had no senes, that Amir Liakov doesn't help me. Because when the Rabbanon asked Chazara, they didn't ask the Maisa Chazara. What they asked was that the Bishul happens on Shabbos for the Jew. Had it happened for the Jew, a machine came, a robot came, I set up a Shabbos clock, I told the guy. In all those cases, I violate the Issa Chazara on Shabbos because the Bishul itself takes place on Shabbos on my behalf. Not Bishul D'Oraisa, but Bishul D'Rabbanan. That's the Gzera which would engender an Issa even if you told the Akam to do it. So the Ramah here is reflecting the Shita of the Balamar, that just like in Shehiyah we have a Gzeira Shem Yechata, so too in Chazor we have a Gzeira Shem Yechata, and therefore you gain absolutely nothing by telling the Akum to do the Chazor on your behalf. Because when it comes to Gzeiras, is Amir Liakum helps you not. Masha'enkein, if we hold like the Rif, that could be the yesod of the Maritz Shita, that Yesh Lahakil, it's a Shvus to Shvus B'mokum Mitzvah. First, it's a Shvus because the Holy Sechazor is a Shvus. Secondly, I didn't even violate the Mechzikim of Ashel because the guy did it, so I'm perfectly Shevi Altas, so that's another Shvus, is therefore we can be making.
I mean, that, can you plug that right in exactly to what you were talking about, Hashmah's Kol, on the Chasana, on Shabbos, on Leil Shabbos? It's the same thing, because Lamai says what the Rav basically is saying, you can boil the Rav down back to say, is you have to keep your eye on the ball to what the Gzera was. Was the Gzera for this purpose or for that purpose? If you just say it's a Gzera that Hashmah's Kol is Aser, then you're stuck. You can't do anything no matter what. But if you say the Gzera was for the purpose of Tikkun Kli, then you have to see if it accomplishes that purpose. If by the goy it doesn't accomplish any purpose because the goy, there's no Yisur of Tikkun Kli altogether, and there would never be an instance where the Yisur.
So that's exactly the opposite of what we're saying, you know. But it's okay if you know that's
the Yid at the Chassid saw that the vine was broke, that the Yid wouldn't go over to try to fix it.
No, you have to assume that.
Yeah, but it's the
same thing. You can say the same thing. You can say the same thing by where the Chazara is. It's on the side of the oven, right? You could say the same way that even though it's on the side of the oven, that you would still mix the coals. You'll do something with the coals.
So that's what the Gemara is saying, that if it's on the side of the oven, you have no contact with the coals, we're not afraid that you'll come to heat.
It's the same thing. So if you have
But if on the other hand, the Easter is because of Bishul, the Rabbanan said that what you're doing here is Bishul, then it matters not whether it's inside or outside.
Then you're stuck.
So now what we're saying is that the Rif had a proof that we paskin that there is an Issur Shehiyah, because otherwise, what would the Gemara mean by being Matir Smicha? You can't be Matir Smicha in the context of Bishul. It must be that we're talking about Shehiyah. Shehiyah is not Bishul.
Right.
Shehiyah is a Gzeira Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. From Shehiyah, you might be tempted to violate Meleches Havara by poking the coals. Had it been Chazara, then the Rif is saying there would be no leniency in the case of Smicha. Says Rav Soloveitchik, why is that so? Because the Rif understood that Chazara is a Meleches Bishul. And if it's a Meleches Bishul, then Smicha won't help you one iota.
Absolutely.
If you go like the Balamar is saying that the Gemara Safik applies to Chazara just as well as it does to Shehiyah, because the Balamar makes no difference between makes no differentiation, no distinction between Shehiyah and Chazor. It's all Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. And if there's a svar to say that I can neutralize the Shema Yechata B'Gecholim by doing Smicha, that would apply to Chazor as well. So it comes out that paradoxically, although the Balamor is going to be Mekil in favor of Smicha on Shabbos, meaning even in Chazor, but yet it'll be Makmir by Amir Le'akum. And the opposite is true according to the Rif, that the Rif is going to be machmir in Chazal Yedei Smicha, because that's also a Maisa Bishul.
Right.
But now having defined Chazor, classifying as Malacha, he's going to be making Al Yedei Amir Liyaka, because then you're a Shevi Al Mitzvah. It's very fascinating. It's like a seesaw over here.
Who the poskim
I just get the impression that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Ma'arit here because he's very serious about this Ma'arit. Again, the Ramah is the Ramah. You know, it's very hard to ever poskim the Ramah for an Ashkenazi at least. But when the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha goes out of his way to send us to Simon Shin Yud Ches and formulate the principle of Shvus to Shvus, Litzarach Shavis Shari, and he quotes the Shari Tshuva, the name of the Ma'arit Lahakel B'Dovar, I don't know. Maybe that changes the whole perspective. I didn't read the last part of the Bir Halacha. Let me just see if he backtracks on this. He says, it's got to be Yoveh, Shein Bo Mara, because anyway, then we have a problem of Yesh B'Shalach and Bishul B'Lach, etc. And he says, "Ubesimen zeh mashma shekava poskimein sovrim kain." They don't accept the Ma'arit. The ayin b'magen avram u'v'tosefes Shabbos mikol makom nireh diyesh lismoch olav. Ah, here's your final answer. If you're a Mishnah Berurah man, that he says that you can rely on the Ma'arit with tzorech Shabbos. So you have to decide how important is it to have hot schnitzel on Shabbos. I use schnitzel because I think that's a perfect example of something that's mevushal kol tzarko. It's yavish, but you really want to eat it hot. Now for me, and here I'm a son of my father may rest, everything had to be hot. My mother had to live with my father for many, many years, and this is a problem. Because my father was a litvak. I don't know if you know anything about litvaks. They say about litvaks that if you're not a litvak and I am, and I pass you a glass of tea, you'll drop it immediately. That's how hot it is. And if I ask you to drink it, forget it. I mean, your tongue will just go up in smoke. But the litvaks, everything had to be hot. They came for the free. My father told me that his shtetl, during most of the year, when the water used to run down the drain pipes outside his little log cabin, we have a picture of his log cabin, and Abe Lincoln lived in more luxury than my father did as a child. They were so poor in Litha. He said that before the water hit the ground, it already froze. Now, I don't know if this is possible biologically. Is it? Is it possible? That's how cold it was in Litha. So they wanted hot food. And especially on Shabbos. So if you fit into that category, and the Mishnah Berurah probably identified with that, he was a Spitz Litvak, even though he loved Chassidim, by the way, but he says that Yesh Lismoch al Ma'arit B'Makom Tzorech. B'Makom Tzorech means Belita. That's what it means. So that's what he says. That even though Kama Poskim Ein Sovrim Kain, but nevertheless, he says, "Mikol makom nir yesh lismoch alav litzorech Shabbos ulahakel v'zeh." And he goes and he quotes a prima godim, and he quotes a prima godim. So prima godim is good for me, and this is good. So again, I'm not your local consulting rabbi, but it seems that to allow the guy to put the cold schnitzel back onto the fire on Shabbos for the sake of Tzorech Shabbos might be mutter. Why? Because it's number one Shvus of Chazorah, it's already cooked, and number two, it's Amir L'Nochri, and all this fits beautifully if you hold like the Rif. And but keep in mind, you know, if you're going with the Ma'arit and the Rif, you got to accept upon yourself, you know, everything costs money. You know, nothing is free. There's no freebies in this world. So you're going to have to accept the Rif, and then you're going to tell me that since the Malacha Derabbanan, like B'Makom Choli, you're not going to be Mekil. Right? Because Chazorah is a Meleches Bishul. And not only that, if you can ask me, well, okay, I'm not going to do Chazorah on top of the fire, but I'm going to put it on the side of the fire, the Rif is going to tell you, don't even dream about it, because what difference it make in Mexican Mavasha whether it's on the fire or on the side of the fire. Okay. Let's fast forward to a fascinating discussion. You have to go?
Yeah, I gotta go.
Okay, go ahead. We'll see you. Have a great Shabbos. Okay. Let's fast forward to page Nun Zayin. Okay, then? And here we have a discussion about a Tosfos in Megillah. The question is, are we allowed to blow the shofar, a Motzei Yom Kippur, during the period of time called Tosefes? So in other words, we haven't yet made Avdolah, and we want to blow the shofar. And I'm just going to add my own commentary, the people are pressing for it. You know, they want to hear that shofar, you know what I'm saying? So today we're very frum, so we don't allow this to go on. But back in the day, the days of Tosis, they weren't so frum. So Tosis says, Shari litkov motzoi Yom Kippur, you're allowed to blow the shofar. And so look, we're fasting, brother. It says, the afti also lasos malocha ad she yavdil, right? You need avdola, and it's not yet time for avdola. The tkiya shofar chachmehi v'yena malocha. Zakar Shechti, you can almost write the script yourself. And what does it mean, Chachma Veina Malacha? It means even the Rabbanan, it's not a Malacha. Of course, Tkiya Shofar is not a Malacha. You don't have to tell me. I looked through the list of 39 Malachas, I didn't find Tkiya Shofar on the list. But the Chiddush is, it's not even a Malacha the Rabbanan. Meaning, what is it? A Gzeirah the Rabbanan. The law is reading Gzeirah Bizman Tosefa Shams. Now, this is fascinating. Because what happens, let's say I'm a Chassidish Yid, and I go to my Rebbe's, you know, Shal Shudas, and it goes and goes until midnight. And Chas V'Shalom to say Avdol until the Rebbe finishes and we're ready for Avdol, right? So instead of being 7 p.m. and Shabbos is over, it's 12 midnight, right? So I have 5 hours now, and it's Tosefa Shabbos because I didn't make Avdol. Can I tell a guy to do Malacha for me? And the answer is yes. Why? Because Amir Eliakim is only a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, and a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan is Mutter during Tosefta Shabbos. How do I know such a thing? Because Tosus and Masechta Megillah allows me to blow the shofar during Tosefta Yom Kippur. Because blowing a shofar is only a Gzeirah. And we said that Amir Eliakim is Mutter B'Mokum Choli, right? And we said that Ashvas Kol is Mutter B'Mokum Choli. So this would be really cool, Rabbi. So imagine this. I'm at a Hasidus Shetish, and the Rebbe decides he wants music. Now, I don't think this could happen in our world. But imagine, just tells up far, the Rebbe says, to get into the mood, you know, we're contemplating, you know, the Olamos, we need music. Let's tell the guy to play the fiddle for us.
You could probably tell even the Jew to do that.
Ah. Because he doesn't have Tosefta Shabbos. Okay, forget about...
He finishes Tosefta Shabbat.
Right. You're right, sir. But I'm just saying, let's say there's no Jew around. You know, we're in the city of Gur, you know, back in 1892, and every Yid is a Ger Chassid. I mean, they say Ger before the war. I forget which was the Alexander, I think, was amazing. You know, the Nazis killed all the Alexander Chassidim. It came out, nobody left. But Alexander was the largest Chassidus before the war. So you have a shtet or a stretten or whatever your favorite Chassidus shtetl is, and there's no Jew around. But the goyim, for a good couple of kopekas, you know, for some rubles, they'll play the fiddle for you, and it's going to enhance your experience. So the answer is it's Amir Eliakim. Ah, but Amir Eliakim on Tosefes, according to Tosus, is Mutter. Hashmas Kol is only Exera, and Exera is Mutter but Tosefes. I'm allowed to have Hashmas Kol. Right? So maybe Zev is right, the Jew is going to play the music. And then we had Mukta. Am I allowed to move Mukta during Tosefa Shabbos? Mamish, this tremendous nafkamin is here going along. We also added what to the list of Xeris? We had Kinyan. Could I make a Kinyan during Tosefa Shabbos? A Malach I can't do, but a Xer I can do. It's no difference than Tekiah Shofar. So as our list of gzeros gets longer and longer, and we said that gzera is very problematic because it has an extra chumrah, it's also even b'shevi altaseh, but it's mutter during Tosefta Shabbos.
So merely,
do you follow it? It's amazing because there's like a scorecard here. You know, you've got two teams playing each other. Who won the last football game, by the way?
The Eagles.
The Eagles won? Oh, shucks. Okay. The Patriarchs is owned by a Yid, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Not the Eagles, I
guess. Some of the Eagles.
Oh, the Eagles also owned by a Yid? Oh, I didn't know that. So how do you, who do you know how to root, who do you root for?
From Boston, you know who to root for.
Oh, okay, fine. But I'm not from Boston. Well, I spent a lot of time in Boston. So now I come back to this question here. You got the scorecard. You got two teams here. You got the Malacha team and the Gzera team. And you don't know who wins. Meaning, where do we say, let's protect and not allow, you know, any violation here, desecration. So the answer is, in certain senses, we're going to be very machmir about a Malacha Rabbanan. We're not going to allow a malacha b'drabanan b'makom choli unless there's a kalacha yad. And in certain contexts, we're going to be mekil in a malacha because it's shevi altas, and we're going to be machmir because it's gzeira. With Tosefa Shabbos now, the upper hand is in favor of the malacha. The malacha, we're not going to be matir on Tosefa Shabbos. But a gzeira like Tekiah Shofar, that we can be matir. And he has a long footnote here, number 10, which is very, very fascinating. But what time is it now? It's almost time for Mincha.
Right. 4 minutes.
So let's take this last 4 minutes to discuss the following question. 1 second. Oh, who asked me about Hachana? Alan, did you ask me something about Hachana? Okay. So let's ask the following question. I'm not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Chol. That's an Isra Achon. Question is that a Gzera or a Malach? Pashas, I would say it's a Gzera, because Achonah could include even blowing your nose. I mean, there's no end to what Achonah could include. Cleaning the dishes might be Achonah, there's no Malach. So it's odd to say that was upgraded to the status of a Malach. It's the Memela Achonah would be mutter during Tosefa Shabbos. So Shtelzikfar, we want to prepare Avdol. Why? Because we're going on and on and on with Shabbos, and we want to make sure that at the first possible moment, the Avdolah is all prepared. But you're not allowed to prepare Avdol on Shabbos, for Motzi Shabbos, that would be Achana. But if it's Tosefa Shabbos, which 99% of the time it is, then it should be mutter. So take a look at the top. Muktzah would also be Gzeira Drabbanan, because we said Muktzah is Mutter Mimakum Choli, and then Gzeira is not also until Sefer Shabbos.
So you'd be able to verify.
But when we have a whole, that's what I'm telling you, Alan, we have now a whole list of things that are Mutter, according to Tosfos. I know we'll have to see in the Shulchan Aruch, but according to Tosfos and Megillah, a whole list of things that you're allowed to do during Tosefa Shabbos because they're all Gzeiras. And that's what he says on the top left here on page Nun Zayin. Lahochin Yayin Lavdullah. He hasn't yet recited Avdolah, and he wants to prepare the wine. And for that matter, Alan's adding, he wants to prepare the candle, right? Because even if the candle is Muktzah, which I'm not sure it is, but even if it's Muktzah, Muktzah is only a Gzera. Is Shari Liachat Seisa Kochom, Afil Kodim Shiomar, Baruch Ham Avdu Beikosh Lechol. Shari Yisra Achana Eino Yisra Molocha, Ela Gzera. Is Dafke Yisra Molocha Nesu Bizman Tosefa Shabbos Velo Gzeros. And here, I was nispoiled that he quotes the Shvir Shabbos Kilchus. I didn't know that Rav Shechter was a Bucky in Shvir Shabbos Kilchus. And he says, Nistapik present. In other words, the Shvir Shabbos is not sure whether you're allowed to prepare for Avdolah when you haven't recited yet Baruch HaMav.
But that would include lighting the fire. That's already the Havar, yeah, already.
Well, lighting the fire is already Malacha Doraisa and Tosefa Shabbos.
What if you did it from an air that was already dull? Would that,
That doesn't help you at all. Yeah. But let's say you could light the fire through a guy, which would be a Shevi Altas on the letter on. But then, now we're going to say that what? That. 1 second. Could you have the guy light the fire? 1 second. Amiral and Nochri. But we're talking about, because it's Hachana. So if it's Hachana, the Gzera includes anything that's done on your behalf.
Yeah, but you're,
in other words, if I tell the guy to be Mechin for me for Motzi Shabbos, according to what I understand, maybe I'm wrong, that would be awesome. You tell me it's only a Gzera. Adarama, because it's a Gzera, I can't do it through a guy.
But are you allowed to tell a guy to light the candles for you if you forgot to light on Shabbos? I'm talking about Leil Shabbos now. You're allowed to have a guy light the candles for you.
So you're asking, how could I have a malacha done al yedei guy? I don't know, how is it mutter? How can you tell a guy to do a malacha for you? Ah, because it's Shevi Altas. But you need another Shvus. We're saying like this. Amir Liakum reduces it by adding another Shvus. But he's lighting the fire. That's not a Shvus. So how do we get another Shvus here? Alan, can you write this to me in an email? I have to research this. Yeah, what he's asking.
But I know that's
how, even for the sake of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, but how could I allow Amir Liakum? Amir Liakum is only one Shvus. I need a second Shvus. And if he's lighting the candle, there's no second Shvus. Right. Would you write that to me and I'll research it, believe that? Okay. But most, I wish you all a great Shabbos. We have this Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim plus Shkol. So it's a double head of the Shabbos.